So I'm just going to pray really quick. Lord, we just ask that we have laser vision towards you, towards your goal, towards your will, that everything is lined up, that we do not stray, we don't look left to right, that we can just focus on you for this moment this morning. Let hearts be changed, and we love you so much, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to be speaking about undeserving grace. And how sufficient his grace is for us. I know we fall short all the time. Grace is like a blanket. It covers over so many things. It covers change. It changes us. It empowers us. It frees us. Delivers us from so many things. He keeps on giving it, and I don't understand why all the time. We don't deserve it at all. I'm sorry.
Come on, girl. That's all right. Preach it. Preach it.
Thank you, Lord, for your grace.
Do it.
Everywhere I look, especially being a mom, I see his unfailing, unending grace everywhere. And I heard a really cool thing, that grace is a weapon that disarms the dark. John 1. 6 through 10, and I'm going to do Amplified Bible, if that is A-okay.
Yeah,
all right. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came to witness that he might testify of the light, that all men might believe in it, adhere to it, trust it, rely upon it through him. He was not the light himself, but came that he might bear the witness regarding the light. There it was, the true light was then coming into the world, the genuine, perfect, steadfast light that illuminates every person. He came into the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him, did not know him at all. And then we're going to do 15 through 17. John testified about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has priority over me, for he was before me. He takes rank above all else, above me, for he existed before I did. He has advanced before me because he is my chief. For out of his fullness, abundance, we have all received. All had it shared, and we were all supplied with one grace after another in spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. For while the law was given through Moses, grace, unearned, undeserved favor, and spiritual blessing, and truth came through Jesus Christ." Okay, so 17 explains the difference between Moses and Jesus. So in Moses' ministry, he brought knowledge of law. And so, but law could only show us how simple and broken we were. That's also displayed in Romans 3:20. So with Moses, that's all you get is just the law and how broken and shooken and beaten we were down. Rather than just truth, Jesus brought grace. So here comes Jesus into the mix. Christ gave us a way to fix what was wrong. Human efforts will always fall short, but Jesus provided a way for us to experience forgiveness. So those are two huge different points that was in 17. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 11. Grace means undeserved peace and undeserved kindness. It is really hard to show peace and kindness when there are certain situations that we go through that we don't want to show kindness. And that's why it's so important that we do show grace. So 2 Peter 1, 1 through 11. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle, which is a special messenger of Jesus Christ, to those who have received obtained an equal privilege of, like a precious faith, with ourselves in and through the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. In the first verse, it was really apparent to me because bond servant, I had to look that up. When I was reading, I wasn't sure what that was. And so a bond servant is pretty much what it says. It's somebody who is bound in service without wages. And in life, that's super important because a lot of times, whether it's with a career or something like that, we do feel like we are bound a lot of times with the things that we have to do or the things that are asked of us or expect of us. Salvation is not something that's gained by personal effort, but received as an undeserved gift because of God's grace. Verse 2 is, may grace, God's favor, and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts, be multiplied to you. The full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and Jesus of our Lord. That sense of spiritual well-being is grace. Verse 3, for his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him. I think for true personal knowledge, I really had to spend some time on that because there is no secret knowledge, right? It wasn't no better way or a different belief system that God had revealed himself to some group. It wasn't anything like that. The truth is available to everybody. So you don't have to be in a certain group. You don't have to look a certain way, act a certain way. It's available to each and every person. And glory right here, who called us by and to his own glory. That means honor. That is what it's all about. Verse 4. By means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, the rottenness, the corruption that is in this world because of covetousness, lust, greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. Becoming a partaker of divine nature means that characteristics of God's nature become my own. So everything of God can become of us, his goodness, his love in that. So it's pretty amazing to know that it is possible, right? It's available to everybody. For this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop your virtue. Excellence, resolution, Christian energy. And in exercising virtue, you develop knowledge. Knowledge is power, right? You develop virtue and develop knowledge, which is intelligence. And in exercising knowledge, you develop your own self-control. And in exercising self-control, you develop steadfastness, patience, endurance. And in exercising steadfastness, you develop godliness. That's amazing. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and it just excites me, you know? Yes. In exercising godliness, you develop brotherly affection. And in exercising brotherly affection, develops Christian love. Do these things for benefit. Story of Kenny and I, earlier this week, I had texted him. You know how marriage goes. You text about things going on, and this week I just shared with him, you know, all the stuff that I've been doing, and, you know, not for praise, but it is nice, but I was sharing with him, and I forgot how the story went, how all the text messages went, but it totally convicted me, because he sent a simple text back that said, in sacrifice, what sacrifice in a marriage truly looks like is if it was true sacrifice, It would not be convenient. Okay, so when I tell him that I'm sacrificing my time doing this, or I'm sacrificing the things that I want to do, we had a really great conversation on what true sacrifice is, and how much that is love in a marriage, and sacrificing all of those things. It has to be inconvenient for you to be a true sacrifice. Otherwise, it is what, Kenny? A gift, right? Is that what you said? Right, an offering. So it has to come out of true sacrifice. So I love that all these verses, 5-7, just displays things through that, but it has to be through sacrifice as well. 8, for as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. I'm going to camp out on verse 8 a little bit. Peter's writing to Christians out here, and I did get convicted through this. The challenging idea jumps out in verse 8. Is it possible for a Christian to be fully equipped for a meaningful life of Christ-like goodness and yet waste that opportunity? I'm going to repeat that. So is it possible for us Christians, I'm going to say us Christians, is it possible for us to be fully equipped with all of the things that were just displayed in the verses? Is it possible for us to be equipped with all of that, of all the Christ-like goodness, and yet waste each individual opportunity that we're given? Absolutely. Some people choose to be ineffective, and some people choose to be unproductive with this precious gift that we're given. This, for me, was a sobering thought. It's like realizing you have a superpower, right? All along, but you've just been wasting it, just throwing it away. It would be disastrous to leave that ability unused. If you had a superpower, wouldn't you want to use it? I am totally guilty of this. To pursue lesser things because they were easier for me, or it was immediately more attractive.
Right.
Lord, I just speak against that mindset.
Yes.
Amen. Forgive us for thinking less when you have provided so much more.
Yes, God.
Equip us and help us use our superpowers. So how can us Christians avoid that? Right? It comes so easy to do that, but how can we avoid not using those superpowers? How can we avoid having all these things given to us and provided for us and not using them? Peter says that seeking qualities he's listed in the previous verses, and to have them grow in us, and to have them the way to effectiveness and to be productive as people who know the Lord. I need to repeat that because I didn't even understand that. I'm sorry. So how can us Christians avoid not using all of our amazing qualities that God has given us? Peter says that just seeking those qualities that he's listed in those verses and to have them grow in us, this is the way to be effective and to be productive as people who know the Lord. Prior verses have shown, though, that this is not going to happen while we are sleeping. Or when we're not paying attention. We have to be paying attention at all times. This stuff doesn't just happen. It would be nice if it did. It would be super convenient if it did. But Peter has commanded us to go to work, to make an effort, and to add these qualities alongside of the faith that we all possess as Christians.
Right.
Come on.
Thank you, God,
girl.
go to 9. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind spiritually, short-sighted, seeing only what is near him, and has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. And I refuse. I refuse. Verse 9. I do not think that of us. I refuse to be oblivious. I do not want to be blind spiritually, even though it's very hard to be that way. I'll go to 10. Thank you, Jan. Because of this, brethren, be all the more solicitous and eager to make sure, to ratify, to strengthen, to make steadfast your calling and election. For if you do this, you'll never, right? Yes. You'll never stumble or fall. Yes. Thus, therefore, will be richly and abundantly provided for you entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. Woo! Yes. Thank you, Jesus. God decided, right? Decisions are something that we do ourselves. We don't have to, right? When we make a decision to buy bananas, we don't have to buy bananas. But we choose to. We want them for the week. We're very cautious about picking out what kind. We make each and every decision. Lost my place again. I'm so sorry, y'all. But God has decided to have a relationship with us because of his great love for us. Doesn't have to, but he does. Those who were chosen by God will receive the spiritual blessing of grace and increasingly abundant peace. That was 2 Peter 1 we had already read. This favor is multiplied in our lives through the personal, precise knowledge of him. We must not let the enemy lie to us about the nature of our Heavenly Father. The more time we spend with God, the more we will learn to rely on his love. When Jesus was a child, he continued to increase in favor and wisdom. And that was because of his close and personal relationship with God. We can experience that same very increase that he showed to us. All right. So I thank God for his mercy, his grace, for him to show compassion towards me when I fail him all the time, when I don't show others love, because it's very hard to in some situations, when I'm impatient with my children, right? When I say let's go, I mean let's go. And I don't show patience all the time with my children. But God gives me grace as well as my children do. When I expect more and I choose to throw tantrums, right? What kind of 28-year-old throws tantrums? But I do when expectations aren't met. And, right. And it amazes me because in all this, no matter how we act, and I know I just like briefly spoke to Ronnie out there. We're not giving you permission. What did you say out there? The pass for grace. A lot of people are commonly, well, you're giving them a permission or a
license to sin. You teach on grace, people think, but you're teaching, you tell them they have a license to sin.
Right.
Yeah, that's
not
it. No. And in this, God really taught me of how to give grace to myself, because that's not something that I'm really aware of how to do. And that's not something I choose to do, right? Like I said about decisions, that's something that we have to choose to do. So to give grace to ourselves, we need to look within for a list of thankfulness. We need to look for a list of praise. Just as you thank God for others in your day, you need to thank God that you are his child and for the changes that he has brought about in your heart and in your life.
Yes. Amen.
And for those that he has placed in your life. I know that I'm able to give myself more grace because my husband gives me grace. The other day he came in and Yeah, yay Kenny, he's amazing. He came in from work after working 12-hour day, and I was working at home with the three kids, and life is crazy, right? And I tried to make the house look like Eden before he gets home, right? And I put that expectation on myself. And that is not of what my husband asks for me to do. He has never said, I expect you to have the house like this. I expect dinner to be on the table. I expect our children to be amazing. Like, he doesn't expect those things of me. However, I expect those things of him. And so God has really been blasting me on that this week for that. And so when I'm trying to give grace to myself, I also need to thank God for how much Kenny shows me grace. Because after a 12-hour day and the kids were rampant, the house did not look okay. And he came in and looked at the menu and seen what was for dinner and started dinner without being asked, without being told. And after I got off of work, I went in the kitchen and I apologized. I was like, I am so sorry that our kids were crazy. And I'm so sorry that toys were on the floor and Play-Doh was everywhere. And I'm sorry I wasn't off by the time that you got off and that I didn't have dinner ready. And he was like, it's okay. And it brought me to tears and it gave me my message because he showed me so much grace. And that's exactly what God gives us. And he... I don't know. Probably not. I'm learning. Yep.
He's alive today.
I am. Yes. Alive and at church.
He's not injured.
So I've been learning how to give grace to myself through Kenny. And that's where Ephesians 4:16 comes. For because of him, the whole body, the church in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and the ligaments with which it is supplied. When each part, with power adapted to its needs, is working properly in all of its functions, it grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. And I know Kenny spoke about love when he was doing his sermon. But we need to pray in confidence. We need to pray pray with confidence for you. So for ourselves, when we're trying to give each other grace and ourselves grace, we need to pray confidence for us, a beloved child and an heir of the Almighty God. God's throne is like your bank of grace. And so anytime that we need grace, it's accessible to us. Just like I said in the beginning, that it's not for any special individual or special group. It's available to each and every one of us. So stay close with a humble heart and ask for mercy and grace all the time, because we definitely need it all the time.